the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that's a fascinating thing because, on the one hand, Paul talks, we are predestinated. He knew us from before. He knew us from before the foundations of the very world. And before we were born, when we were in the womb, he was sanctifying us. He was getting ready to call us. You know, all this is set up. But then, we are born, and what? We live like the children of wrath. And we do by nature things just like them. It's like the parable of the wheat and the tares. While they grew together, God forbade the angels from removing the tares. He said, lest you pluck up the wheat also. You know, because you might mistake the tare for the wheat, because while they're growing, I don't know anything about those vegetables or anything. It doesn't matter. You don't have to. The point is, God is saying that the children of the kingdom look just like the children of disobedience while they're growing. And you may think you're looking at something that's wheat, or you're looking at something that's a weed or a tare. And then, lo and behold, when harvest time comes and the fruit's barren, you can see, oh, gee, you know, that was wheat. And so the point is that, you know, we're just like everybody else. There's really nothing special about God's children to the naked eye as they grow up in the world. And I suppose that to a very trained and spiritual eye, things can be seen, you know, and flashes of things. Testimonies are given. And then verse 4 is the but God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, because he loved us before we loved him. And so while we were yet children of wrath, he did something for us. Something that he doesn't do for the children of disobedience, the tares among wheat. See, in the parable of the tares, the Lord never says, some of those tares may change over into wheat. No, he's saying you might pluck up wheat accidentally, thinking it's a tare, because maybe you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, because they start off just the same. And so what it is we see here, God acts, and he starts, he moves on us. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He, while we are still dead in our sins, he makes us alive together with Christ. And then parenthetically he says, by grace are you saved. That's the message right there, grace. We are not saved by a choice we make. We are saved by God being gracious towards us and quick making us alive. How does he do that? He reveals himself to us. The gospel is preached to us. You understand that even have the gospel preached to you is an act of the grace of God? That so many people never hear the gospel? And in this stage and age, even in this country, the gospel has become so corrupted with the leaven of false doctrine as to be almost completely unrecognizable when one studies the scriptures. So he has quickened us and raised us up together, made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are sitting in heavenly places. Now, it doesn't mean I shut my eyes and meditate and I astral travel to the heavens and I sit upon a throne up there. But we partake, as the Apostle Peter says, we can be partakers of the divine nature. And this goes back to other things he said. That, you know, Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Even before he actually received the child, God already looked at him as righteous. Okay? Same thing with us. Is even before Christ is totally formed in us, God looks at us as his children, as the righteous. It doesn't mean he thinks nothing of our sin. Okay? Or, you know, or that how would I want to put this? See, people, the way the doctrines are taught today is people are conditioned to basically write off their sin as God will forgive them, or they say, well, just repent, ask God to forgive you, and he will. And, well, I don't discount that. I say, go. What? Why just ask for forgiveness all the time? And it kind of gets insulting after a while, but you got to understand the promises of God, according to the gospel. It's not just that he's going to forgive your sins, it's that he's going to make you free from your sins. So I would say, you know, ask God to forgive you. Okay, that's fine, but I don't really focus too much on asking him to forgive me again. I know he has forgiven me. But I ask him to deliver me from those, deliver me from those things. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. As Paul had said in verse 2 Thessalonians, it says, you know, avoid every form of evil. And I ask God, do that for me. I expect Christ to be formed in me. So, I'm asking you to fulfill your promise toward me. Form Christ in me. Let me sit together in heavenly places in Christ. You know, that's ultimately in his kingdom. The kingdom is right here. Even now. Even while he is not yet, we have not taken over the world. You know, it doesn't, when he appears, there's going to be a major change, right? And these things are just, like you said, the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment of something greater that's coming. And we are set in heavenly places in Christ. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Boy, sometimes it sure does. I tell you, sometimes when I teach the word, I feel so lifted in my spirit. And I feel so grateful sometimes, just the way he pours out knowledge to me. And understanding. And the depth of the riches of what he has to offer, what he has to teach. It is like heaven. Because I just feel such a close connection with him. So that, so what did he do? He's rich in mercy, so he loved us. He quickened us. He raised us up together. This goes back to, you know, we are buried with him in baptism. We are raised again, you know, from the dead with him. Meaning, out from that life of sin, walking in the newness of life,